Yes, dear. Appreciate that song, Brother Richard. And Kendra, thank you for that song and for that testimony. Now, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Her testifying helped me find that last verse of Scripture I was digging for. So, God, let me get it. I want to talk tonight about this subject, Behold the Lamb. But I want to talk about pictures of the Lamb. And I want to read a verse of Scripture. This is in John chapter number 5. And verse number 39, before we get into the different pictures that I want to try to bring out from the Word of God. And this is where Jesus is speaking to those that come and accuse Him. The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people of His day, who thought they understood what it meant to be righteous. They thought that they understood the Scriptures, but they didn't recognize who He was. You see, when Jesus came and John was there baptizing, John was the forerunner. And when Jesus came, He had been talking about the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord's coming. And when He saw Him, He said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, He declared Him, He baptized Him, the Holy Ghost came as a form of a dove and lit upon Jesus, signifying and proving, but many still didn't accept it. But if you go over to John chapter 5, in verse 39, it says this. It says, Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And you will not come to Me that you might have life. I receive honor from men. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. If another shall come in His own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now look at 43, I'm just going to give you a thought. He said, if another shall come in His own name, him ye will receive. Now folks, there's been a lot of false religions that have come in men's own name since this time when this was spoken. Look at the 45th verse. It says, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe My words? Now here's something that I want you to understand. When He said to them, you did not believe Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. It's what we call the Pentateuch. Now, well, if Moses wasn't actually there during the times, how did Moses write it? Well, the Scripture says that holy men of God were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Moses wrote that, and when I read it and I look at it, I believe God gave him exactly the words that He wanted us to have. Now, some of the things that we read in Moses' writing, Moses was actually there and he experienced. But there were some things that God revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he might be able to pin them down. And here's the first picture that I want to share with you, the picture of the Lamb. And it actually occurs in the third chapter of Genesis. Now, we know that the first mention of the virgin birth, what I believe, is where the Lord speaks there, and He is actually speaking about the curse in Genesis chapter number 3, in verse number 15, where He says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent. And He said, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, we know that a woman doesn't have seed. A woman has eggs. I believe this is referring to the virgin birth, okay? But I want us to go down and look at another verse in this same chapter. Go down to the 21st verse. Now, Adam and Eve were in the garden. And while they were in the garden, they were not ashamed. You see, they were in a perfect place, and they were sinless, and I believe they were covered and clothed with the glory and the righteousness of God. And when they were there and they were clothed with the righteousness of God, if you know, you study a reference over where Jesus was transfigured before the disciples and they saw Jesus, his face did shine and his body did shine as the brightness of the sun. Now, we're going to be clothed in the righteousness of God. You know, because the Bible teaches us that this is our righteousness in myself. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags. What does that mean? That means if I try in myself and in my ability to come before the Lord and make myself presentable, the very best I can do is not good enough. Because in myself, I can't do it. And sometimes that's what people try to do. Rather than just trusting in Jesus, they try to come and do something themselves. But when they had taken of this forbidden tree and they had ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden they looked at themselves and they saw that they were naked. Why? Because I believe the glory of the Lord departed from them, and that covering of the righteousness of God, it was removed. And when they look at themselves, they saw that they were naked. So they went and they attempted, and this is like the first man-made religion, when they took and they did sew fig leaves together to make clothing for themselves so that they could hide their nakedness. And that's what sometimes people try to do when they come up with their own righteousness. But look at what it says in the 21st verse of Genesis chapter number 3. It says, "Unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and this is just a thought. I mean, it's obviously just something to think about. But could you just imagine when they came out of the Garden of Eden, and God Himself made coats of skins to clothe them? Could you imagine as they might perhaps have walked by and looked down and saw little lambs that gave their lives for them? Now the scripture doesn't say it exactly like that, but what did Jesus say? He said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have knew who I was. And here's something in the writing of Moses that I want you to understand, that in the beginning when they sinned, or right out of the gate, it took what? It took blood being shed. Little lambs had to die so that they would be able to have a covering for their sin. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, you know, you got to see the pictures. And you got to understand that He, the Lord God, made coats of skins. Something had to die to cover their sin. And it took, I just can't help but look at the scripture and just believe that it was little lambs that had to die to cover their sin. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter number 22 and let's look at some scripture. This is where God had called Abram out from amongst his own people, worshiping the moon god, worshiping the sun god. And he called Abram out and he said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And he calls Abram out from amongst his own people. And Abram was a man that walked with God. And he tells Abraham that he wants him to take and go offer his only son, Isaac. Now, folks, you think, well, you know, that seems strong and that seems harsh. Stop for just a minute. We're trying to understand things with a finite and limited mind, and you cannot do that. You cannot understand everything about the heart and the mind of God. You cannot do it. God looked down, and from the very beginning, He was testing Abraham because He wanted to know what was in Abraham's heart. You know, sometimes God might test you to see what's in your heart because He wants to know if you can handle the blessing that He wants to pour out on you. Okay, now here He's testing Abraham because it's just like this. Abraham was an old man when Isaac was born, to the extent that his wife, his wife Sarah even laughed when she heard him speaking that she would have a child. But this child's coming to the world, and Abraham, it's just like this. He can hear the voice of God. Now, one thing I thought about as I read this in this 22nd chapter, and I want to be this way. I want God to speak, and I want to hear. You see, sometimes it's like we're trying to figure out what God's will is. I want to know that's God talking to me. There's been times that I have, and then there's been times that I've had to get real still and listen real close. Because sometimes it's a loud, audible voice, but sometimes, what does it say in one place? It's a still, small voice. But Abraham heard God. And he heard God correctly, and he said, you go to the mountain, and I want you to offer your son. And as they're traveling, in the sixth verse, it says, and Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Here's what he did. He had Isaac carry the wood for the sacrifice. And he also took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went, the both of them, together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, as Isaac asked the question, and he is answered by his father, I want you to listen to how he answered him. He said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now here's something I want you to understand. God was testing Abraham, and you can read down in the scripture and see that God wanted to build a great nation that would be like the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky from this man Abraham. He is what we consider the father of faith. And because of Abraham's faithfulness, God said, I'm going to pour out blessings on you that a man will not even be able to contain. Now you read the scripture and you can see that he had monetary wealth. But I want you to understand something that's greater than that. It's when you walk with God and God has his hand on you and God moves before you in the situations of your life. Now here's the picture. They went and he says, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. When they left that place, they named it Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And if we look at this scripture and we see that the Lord did provide himself as a lamb for the sacrifice. You see, even in this place, this was a time under the Old Testament law, blood was shed. A lamb had to die. And the truth is, God did not want Abraham to kill Isaac. God wanted to give you and me a picture. And he wanted us to be able to look back and understand that everything in the Old Testament points toward the cross. Amen. You see, because from the very beginning when God said, let us make man, it was God the Father, it was God the Son, and it was God the Holy Spirit. And God knew from the beginning what would have to be done for you and I to have eternal life. And God wants us to see the pictures. And when Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you're not of Moses. If you were of Moses, you would understand who I am. You'd see the pictures. But they can't see the pictures. Let's go to the next one. This is in Exodus chapter number 12, and this is more of the writing of Moses. This is the story of the Passover lamb. Now, when we study this story and we look at this story, there are many pictures in this story. But if we look at Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 3, we know that the last plague was the plague where the angel of death was going to move through Egypt. And as it moved through, the firstborn of every household was going to die. Now Pharaoh didn't believe, and he wouldn't let God's people go. But here we see a picture. Well, why did God do it this way? He's wanting you and I to see the picture. And Moses said in 12 and verse 3, he says, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. It says, a lamb for a house. Every house. Now, I've heard it said that there were thousands of households. 360,000 is what I heard one time. Could you imagine the blood that was shed? The little lambs that lost their life, that had to die. The blood that was shed. Go down to the seventh verse. And it says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. So the Passover, they took the blood and they slayed the lamb and they put it over the doorpost. And when the death angel came through, wherever the blood was applied, then the death angel passed over that house. Go on down to the 21st verse. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and they said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And they shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it in the lintel and the two side posts, and the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses and to smite you. Now, it was very important that they believe what they was told. You know, sometimes what we want to believe is, well, you know, we're chosen, or we're particular, or we're special, and we do not have to listen to what the Word of God says. Somebody met me today out in the parking lot, and they were telling me about a book that was written by a well-known preacher, to where he was trying to spread this doctrine that Jesus came and died for everybody. Therefore, in the end, everybody is going to be saved. Well, do you know that's contrary to what the Word of God says? Do you know that the Word of God even says, Jesus said, there'll be many that'll come to me in that day and say, well, hadn't we done all these great things in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting darkness, for I never knew you. What's important is that you and I, living in the grace age, we know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Just because I grew up in church and my dad was a preacher, folks, that's not enough. I had to move when the Spirit of God spoke to me. Do you realize that Moses is telling them this is serious? You take that lamb and you slay a lamb for a house, and you put the blood on the doorpost, and you put the blood on the lintel, and you stay in that house till morning, because when the death angel comes by, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to live except stay behind the blood. And when we look at this scripture, there's pictures that are painted for you and I. Can you see the pictures? You see, the Passover was the gospel in its primitive form. And look at what each one represents. Well, it's very simple to see that the Lamb is Jesus. And then if we look farther and we see Pharaoh, he is a shadow or a type of Satan or the Antichrist. It's important for us as Christians, and we look back through the Word of God, to see the pictures that God has painted for us. I mean, one book that I'd love to do a study on here in the church is the Book of Ruth. It's just a few chapters, but it's an entire picture of God and His relationship with His Gentile bride. About how that, Boaz, he comes and he takes his Gentile bride out of the field. That's a type of God taking us out of the world. You see, but we have to be able to see the pictures. Let's go over to John chapter number 1. And let's look at what John the Baptist saw. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. He was the one that was spoken about that would come and declare and make way for the Lord. And he was there and he was preaching and he was baptizing. Let's begin reading in the 19th verse of the first chapter. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. And then they said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. And who said, what sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am. And this is scripture directly from Isaiah chapter number 40. It's a prophecy verse being fulfilled. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So it was prophesied that John would come. And John is telling, the Lamb's coming. It says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elijah, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Now see, Jesus was already walking amongst them. And then he says, He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He knew he was God in the flesh. It says, These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Then 29th verse. It says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now folks, at this point, the picture stop. Because this is not a picture of the Lamb. It's not a type of the Lamb. It is the Lamb. Okay, the Lamb has come and walking among men. Okay, and John's saying, I'm not worthy even to latch his shoes. He's God. This is the one that was to come. Says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record, that this is the Son of God. Now this is not a lamb. It's not a picture of the lamb. It is the lamb. The lamb. Now let's go over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to read just a couple of verses to you. It says, chapter number 1 and verse number 18. It says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received ye by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now here's something you have to understand about sacrifice. When they were choosing a lamb to offer as an offering, they would look at that lamb. It's kind of like when we were talking about the 23rd Psalm, and they'd take the rod and they'd rake the wool back. And they'd make sure that that lamb was without spot. Then make sure it was without blemish. And now this lamb, Jesus Christ, he was without spot and he was without blemish. Here's the thing to understand, and this is what God's Word teaches. He lived on this earth and he walked on this earth for 33 years without sin. Then he was the only one that could ever do it because he was God in the flesh. That's why when he was in the garden and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. It doesn't mean that he didn't come to die for mine and your sins, but it meant this. It meant he felt every time they hit him with a whip. He felt it when they pierced the crown of thorns down into his flesh. And you know, sometimes what we go through in this body is sometimes it's, you know, you got pain on the outside, but you know you've got pain on the inside. It's when the burdens and the weights that pull down on you so much. You see, because I believe what killed Jesus on the cross was he died of a broken heart. That's why when they come to him and they reared back to break his legs, he was already dead. Because the weight of mine and your sin was more than a human body could bear. In Hebrews chapter number 10, I want to read just a few verses with you. You know, in the Old Testament, there was the Old Covenant. We have a new covenant in Christ. And I want to read just a couple of verses, beginning in verse number 1. It says, For the law, the Old Testament law, having a shadow, a picture, a type of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. What does that mean? Every year they had to go back. Every year there was a remembrance of sin. It says, For then that would they have not ceased to be offered. because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year they had to come back. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. But a body hast thou prepared me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now this is prophecy from Psalms chapter number 40. You go to Psalms chapter number 40 and look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. And folks, this is what Jesus was trying to say to those Pharisees. You don't know what's in this book. If you knew what was in this book, you'd see that everything in this book is pointing to me. But they didn't see the pictures. It says above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Here it is, once for all. The pictures are gone. The stories come to pass. All the pictures that pointed to the Lamb, and Jesus is the Lamb, and He was offered once for all for mine and your sin, so that when I accept Him, it's none of the devil's business. He can bring it up, but God said it's under the blood. He can bring it up, but God said it's far behind my back. It's as far as the east is from the west. Cast into the depths of the sea, once for all. It says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know, this morning we talked about our mission and what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be doing the work of Jesus Christ and of God until Jesus comes. But right now, folks, our Lord is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you and I, and every time the devil tries to come with an accusation, all he's got to do is look and see if you've been saved, the blood is covered. And he says, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. And he tells the devil, it's none of his business. Say, they try to bring up our sin, but he reminds them once for all. In the book of Revelation, there are 25 verses that speak directly about the Lamb of God. I think there's 29 times that the Lamb is mentioned. I want to read one of them to you. This is in Revelation chapter number 19. And beginning in verse number 5. It says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, here's something I want us to understand. What they lost in the garden, when they looked down and they saw that they were naked, we're going to get it back. We're going to get that righteous robe back that can cover all of our sins. And when we get it back, we're going to have a marriage supper where we sit with the Lord. Look what it says. And he said, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren and have the testimony of Jesus. It said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. You know, sometimes when I read through the book of Revelation and I look at it and I say, wow. You know what I say? Wow. One day when I'm with the Lord, I'm going to understand all that. I don't try to say, you know, sometimes y'all say, well, ask Pastor Joe. Let me tell you something. Pastor Joe can't understand all that. One thing I do know is when I read this, that it talks about the Lamb, I know who the Lamb is. And I know who died on the cross for me. And I know that His blood is a covering for my sin. And one day I'm going to sit with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it doesn't matter what the devil says or what the devil does. He can't do nothing about it. You know, there are things that we'll face in our life that are difficulties, and we'll face some next week, and we'll face some next month. We'll face some long as we're here. Well, one day all this is going to pass. And we're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to spend eternity with Him in a place that He has spent a long time preparing for us. And this is one thing that I believe. We're going to like it. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just not sure if it's not like this or it's not like that. Folks, I want you to know something. God that created you, that created all this, has been gone away preparing a place for us. And He said, if I go and prepare for you, He said, I'll come again. He said, I'm not just going to go away, but I'm going to come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And all the time He's took, all the things He's done for you and I, you're going to like it. That's one thing I don't worry about. I believe when we see what God's created, we are going to be satisfied. Amen. You know, you got to see the pictures, and there are so many as you go through the Word of God that point toward the cross. There's a song that I heard. I went to see a Southern gospel group, and the name of the song is God Saw a Cross. And it began to tell some of the stories about trouble and sin as we read through the Word of God and some of the problems. And it said, God saw a cross. Said, you know, when David killed Uriah, God saw a cross. When Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers, God saw a cross. That cross is the same cross that saves you and I from all of our sin, all of our trouble. Amen? Because of what the Lamb, has done for us. Amen? Man, I hope something there was a blessing to you. You could see something in that tonight.